This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Oh, good afternoon and welcome one and all to Joy 94.9. This is Fender Bender, a show that is dedicated to cars and motoring, and we hope that you will stick with us for the next hour or so. My name is Tim Nicholson, and I am so excited to be joined in the studio by the amazing and wonderful Dan Gardner.
Well, can I say the excitement is purely reciprocal. And
oh,
I'm sorry
really?
About that slight delay before I came in. I was actually applying a little bit of lippy then.
He was, actually.
Sorry about that. You heard that little listener. Pop on the mic. That was the cap coming off. I can do it again. Hang on. There you go.
Oh, that sounded amazing.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, your lips are looking much more moisturised.
Well,
now.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you. It all ties in with the very summery look I'm sporting, I think.
Well, look, is, this know, is the thing. You
it's
know?
Irresponsible. Irresponsible. You know, the colour I've gone is, you know, people look at me like, you know, I'm as good as a goner.
But kind of.
I lived in a country for 26 years that doesn't even have any sun, so I'm making up for it now.
But it's crazy that you go so brown. So for everyone listening, Dan is as brown as a berry. He is a white man, but with very tan skin.
I thank my mother. She was Austrian, and so I think I get a slight olive tinge
from her.
Is that
how...
Yes, I think that's what it is. Yeah.
See, I have the sad, like, Irish pastiness.
Oh, no, really?
Yes. Irish / Scottish, so
well,
I was never going to win.
You come with the luck and the humour, so I think that you make up
and
for it in other ways.
The drinking ability.
Excellent.
Possibly as well.
Excellent.
But look, that's just me. So we're happy to have you company today. We've got a pretty big show, but last for the year.
Oh, where is it gone?
It's somewhere. That
everyone
I
says.
Can't find.
Sorry, let's change the tune because everyone says that.
They do. Boring. Say something new.
Yeah,
this year was really slow.
Yeah, God, I wish it would just bloody end.
Oh, God. But it has been a massive year in motoring. So we're going to have a bit of a year in review and look at some amazing cars that have come out, look at some companies that we think have done well, and, you know, some other zany things.
Yeah.
And very shortly, we're going to be talking about Christmas and motoring.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And we hope you all had a lovely Christmas.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
When can you stop saying that?
Well, I don't know. I was actually having this conversation with a Korean friend of mine yesterday,
okay.
And he just thought that as soon as Christmas Day is over, that's it. You throw the bin in the tree. No, the tree in the bin.
it's a bin in the tree.
That's a Korean. It's a tradition. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's it all over. And I said, no. You got 12 days. He said, oh, really? I'll better go and get it back out of the bin then.
Of Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think it's perfectly okay to keep saying Happy Christmas for 12 days after. Although I think the unspoken rule is as soon as New Year comes around,
yep.
That's kind of it.
Exactly.
You knock it on the head then.
But then it's the same thing with New Year's. It's like how many days after that?
No, I don't really know. I think it's all circumstantial. You play it by ear.
True.
If someone appears to be a bit of a Scrooge, then you don't say anything to them.
But if they
seem full of the Christmas spirit still, then why not? Carry on.
Exactly. And that's what we are. We are full of the Christmas spirit.
And not the type that comes in a 750ml bottle either.
No.
That's not allowed until we finish the show.
Exactly. So lots coming up. And we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or you just want to say hi. Excuse me. Text in 0427 Joy 949 or email onair at joy.org.au. Even if you've got a question or if you are looking to buy a car and you need a bit of help.
Yes, please
text
do.
In, you know, a vague price range.
Yep.
And kind of what sort of car you're looking for, and we can help you.
Yeah. We can give you some sensible suggestions, and I guarantee we'll give you some really silly ones as well.
Absolutely ludicrous ones as well.
That's our favourite bit.
Exactly. That's the most fun. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Stick around.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Fender Bender. You're with Tim and Dan. It is a beautiful summery Saturday.
Isn't it?
Oh, what a glorious day.
Now, tell me about that track that was just on.
That was a song. Now, so that we're doing a bit of a thing today, which is some of our favourite tracks from the year, being our last show of the year. So that was a song by Disclosure called Latch that my friend Dan, who's sitting opposite, introduced me to.
Oh, stop it. That's too kind.
So big thank you. It's a very good song. And it crosses boundaries.
It really does, doesn't
it? Indie kids like it.
Yes.
It's a bit gay.
Yes.
It's kind of...
bit dancey.
Yeah, so a bit dancey.
Appeals to my dance buds.
Yep. That's true.
Don't know what they are.
No.
Or where they are.
No,
about my person.
Possibly in your feet.
Oh, they would be.
I
totally
hope so.
Yeah.
But we also had at the top of the show was Scissor Sisters with Only the Horses, which I think is a great song. It's a Calvin Harris produced song.
Yeah, yes.
So one of my favourites this year as well. Very, and we'll be hearing some of your favourites a little bit later.
You never know your luck.
I know, right? It's crazy talk.
And I may be giving away already by my attire what I'm going to play.
Should I tell the people?
Probably
the
not.
Good people listening?
Because I'm not sure I could bring myself to play one, actually. I can't hold my head high.
That's true. We'll hold off for a bit. You are listening to Fender Bender and Joy 94.9. We've got a lot coming up. Very shortly, we're going to be talking news and Christmas car decorations.
He says through gritted teeth.
Yes, this is Tim and Dan, Fender Bender and Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This is Fender Bender, Tim and Dan with you, and there has been a lot happening in the last couple of weeks, news-wise, I must say, Dan. We've had confirmation from Alfa Romeo.
Oh, hang on, I need a moment.
I know you
do. I know what you're going to talk about.
It's true, they're shut down. No, I'm kidding, that's terrible.
That would be terrible.
So, they have a little sports car, a compact sports car that's going to be coming out in 2013. Everyone thought it was kind of going to be a bit later down the track, but the 4C, as it's known, will be coming out this year.
Stop it.
It's very exciting. And it was announced through a Christmas card that Alfa Romeo had sent to some media in Europe.
That's pretty cute, isn't it?
It is a little bit. It's a little bit cute. So with not many details on the thing yet, but apparently it's going to be powered by a little 1.8 litre turbocharged four-cylinder engine.
Now, this will be, I'm assuming so, unless they fettle with it a little bit for the 4C, but it will be probably the same power plant that's in the Giulietta QV.
Ah.
I'm assuming so.
Right.
Which is a mammoth
cracker.
Little, yeah, isn't it great?
Yeah.
And this is going in, a lot of sports car manufacturers make the mistake of underpowering a car by putting in a revy little turbocharged thing. But this car is going to be light and small.
Yeah.
So this will be bags of power. Now, they also say that engine is good for 300 brake horsepower as well.
Right.
Which is miraculous out of a 1.8.
Yeah.
Quite whether we get that squeezed out of it for the 4C, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Ha, 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 ha. But it's going to be, it'll fulfill that beautiful recipe that Alfa have done so nicely in the past, and that is a front engine rear-wheel drive. So it's not going to be like a little Mini Cooper S or something where they just make it hot and it's but only the wrong wheels are driven.
Exactly, rear-wheel
drive. It's
going
to be a proper sports car. And not only is it going to drive like a proper sports car, hopefully, Alfa are making it, which means it will look absolutely divine. And if you've seen any of the shots of this thing already, because it's been revealed at motor shows,
like a concept version, right? Yeah, which, I mean, you just hope that they will stick with that.
Please do, Alfa.
Don't dumb it down.
They're pretty
much good
at that, though. Let's be honest. Alfa are pretty good at sticking to their concepts.
Well, when was the last time you saw an unattractive Alfa?
Precisely. Yeah. Say no more.
Yeah.
Well, actually, do say more, because that's going to be a very dull show, isn't it? So say more.
That's the end, guys.
But it's terribly exciting because it is. And when I first saw this car, I just was reduced to a puddle on the floor.
You really were, actually.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Quite messy.
So, I mean, the only thing I'm a little worried about is they say they're going to put that double clutch bloody gearbox in it, six-speed thing,
right,
which I've driven in the Giulietta and I didn't like it all that much.
No.
But they might have made changes because they've listened to everything I say.
Surely. Well, they do.
I'm, you know, such a heavy hitter in the motor industry these days.
Mr. and Mrs. Alfa Romeo are listening right now.
Precisely. Yeah, and they heard what I said about the Giulietta gearbox. So hopefully they've made some changes and it will work beautifully in the 4C.
Fingers crossed.
But if you can't tell by how quickly I'm speaking, I'm rather
Dan's
excited.
Dan's excited.
Yes.
It's true. So we'll look forward to seeing that be revealed hopefully in the next few months in production form.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something else this week, something golden.
Oh, now this was a good story. Yes, it was. It's not strictly speaking, not this week. It was last week, I think, but it was such a good story. It's worth talking about still. Mm. The venerable Nissan GT-R. Everyone knows about it. You even think
God
about
Zero.
Cars. Yes, that's right. It's one of the best cars ever made, and I don't think many people disagree with me about that. Now, as a little fundraiser for the Usain Bolt Foundation, they decided to paint one gold and auction it in America. And so, lo and behold, they did this.
Yes.
And it went for, get this.
Dun, dun. Oh, damn, I don't have those.
Oh, where's the... Oh, we've got to do that.
I'll have to find them. You can't.
Please do. It's right. I'll keep talking for a bit.
Here we go. Yep. Okay. Let me know
so,
when you're ready.
This car went up for auction and it went for. Okay. All right. Come on.
It really goes for
$177,500 and something.
Okay.
Right. Australian
dollars.
Right. Now, that sounds like an awful lot, doesn't it? Because all the people in America were saying, Michael, who would spend that amount of money on a GTR? That's the standard price in America is 97,000. Now, coincidentally enough, 177,000 is exactly the same as what you can buy one for in Australia.
Right.
So they have gone to the trouble of making this one-off
and
sold it for exactly what we can get it for here. Now, doesn't that just tell you how farcical prices are compared to the US and the rest of the
world? That is
a car that
is
only one has been made and it's sold for what we can get a standard one here.
And it's bloody gold.
It's pretty gold.
Yeah.
And now there's one final twist of the story which I really like. Let's guess the nationality of the person who bought it. They're Australian.
Oh.
So
Aussie.
So this guy or girl. I'm not entirely certain of the sex of the person who bought it. I'm assuming it's a man.
Well, I'm assuming they have sex.
They bought... one would hope so. Yeah. They certainly will now. They've got an Usain Bolt gold GTR.
Exactly.
The delightful thing is they've bought a one-off and paid exactly what they would for it in their native country.
Wowzers.
Albeit the steering was on the wrong side, but I thought that was delightful. So
would
there
you drive a golden GTR?
I would. I'd drive one in any colour.
I'm sorry, I just wanted any excuse to use that.
There it is.
That will be coming out every 2 minutes on the show today.
I hope we get the gasp back again as well.
That might come in a little bit later if you say something shocking, Dan.
Well, I do frequently.
Often you
so
do.
That's, you're going to wear that one out, I
That's
reckon.
True. Now, another announcement this week. Audi has announced that they announced this... Excuse me, a little while ago, but they plan on being the number one luxury car maker by 2020.
Yes.
Now, I didn't realise this. They are number two.
Yeah, because of course, good old BMW, number one.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
I was quite shocked, though, how far behind Mercedes-Benz were in sales.
Yes.
And they are number three, of course. That was no real surprise there. But the fact that Mercedes-Benz are number three by several million sales was quite surprising to me.
Ah.
I don't know. Would you have thought Audi were number two?
Well, I would assume that. I've had sort of close dealings with BMW in the past, and they've been up there. But it's not too much of a difference, I think I'm right in saying, between the two front runners. It's always been pretty close.
Yes.
And that, as long as you maintain a real close competition between the top two, that's always going to be good for the customer. As soon as you get one who is way out in front, they can start calling the shots too much.
Yeah, that's true.
As soon as you have that healthy competition, though, that maintains, you know, healthy prices, and they're always fighting for that lead position, and that can only be good for consumers.
That's true.
I'm not so surprised to hear about the Mercedes thing, because there's a trick that I was told, one of the sales guys I used to know. He doesn't work for the manufacturer anymore, and I'm not even going to say which one it was. Not that that matters, but one of his tricks was, if someone came to him representing another prestige mark, and they said, I'm sort of thinking of a Mercedes, his one trick was, he said, oh, Mercedes, fantastic cars and everything, but you don't strike me as quite old enough to drive a Mercedes yet.
Right.
Gets them every time. And I think that, and forgive me if I'm speaking out of turn here, I think Mercedes always appeal to a slightly more mature driver.
I think traditionally they have. I think, and that's, look, they're obviously trying to really turn that around over the next couple of years with that A-Class. I think the A-Class, that little CLA, which is a four-door based on that platform, I think that's actually going to scare the crap out of Audi and BMW.
Will be already,
because honestly, a small Mercedes, like a hatchback that drives really, really well.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I don't know, because I really like the 1 Series BMW, but I would be leaning towards the Merc.
Well, Mercedes have proved that they can do small and good before, and all they need to do is just return to those old values, and they'll be well away.
Get rid of that triangle A-Class that they've had.
Oh dear, totally agree.
I can't wait for the new one. But anyway, I just found that quite interesting that Audi, well, we know how aggressive they are, and they keep, you know, creating little niches in the industry, and as do BMW, I guess. So.
What do they say they're going to spend 12? How much
was it?
12?
13 billion euros.
13 billion.
Yeah.
If that's what you got to spend to overtake BMW, wow.
Good luck to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, as I say, as long as the competition remains close, that's good for us.
Exactly. We love it. It's all good. It's all very, very good. So I think that's the week in news.
Yeah, well, Christmas week is always a little bit quieter than most because you know, people are doing other things. So no doubt there's lots of news happening. It's just it's hard to hear about it. So next week, there'll be lots more to talk about.
Exactly. That's very true. Now, so yes, Christmas week.
I didn't realise I was making an involuntary link to our other subject.
It
there.
Was an unintentional segue, and you did it very
Thank
well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I do them in my sleep.
You do. It's weird. No, look, it is Christmas week, and you know we know it's Christmas week because we just do, because we're not stupid. But there are other giveaways of Christmas. There's decorations on the street, decorations in your home. There's also decorations on people's cars. I feel sick.
It makes me laugh so much how abrasive you find it.
Well,
people choose to decorate their cars.
I think I was brought up as well with my father was you would never even put a sticker on your car. Literally nothing. Yeah. If there's a sticker there from the dealer when you bought it,
yeah,
that's it. You would never it was maybe why I would never get a tattoo as well. You just would never touch your car.
I see, yeah.
So when I see reindeer antlers and like a nose, is that Rudolph's red nose?
I'm assuming so.
On the front of a car, I actually get a bit upset. So are you in support of this, Dan?
I personally am. The reindeer antlers and red nose, not at all.
Okay.
I think they're... I mean, the first time I saw them, I thought, what on earth is that? I mean, because there's just two little upturned poos on the on the top of your car. And I thought, what possible purpose does that serve? And then you see the front of it, you go, oh, it's got a red nose. Either that's a remnant from Red Nose Day, or it's Rudolph.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit, the first one made me mildly chortle under my breath.
Yeah.
And then since then, I mean, do they just fly off and sort of hit motorcyclists?
Well, that's what I don't know as well. And, you know, it's that thing of when do you stop saying Merry Christmas? When do you take those blasted things off your car?
Some people just don't, do they? They just leave them on all year round. I've seen red noses that have gone pink from the sun. They've been on so long.
Creepy.
Yeah.
I must say, I was in Botanical Gardens today with friends, and I saw there was a Holden Captiva parked, and it had roof racks.
Yes.
And they were covered in tinsel.
Now this is a different thing.
Okay.
Now I've seen some tradie utes and sort of work cars and things, and they've got accessories all over them. They've got ladders and they've got rhubars and things, and when they adorn them with a bit of tinsel and some other bits and pieces, I find it quite, I don't know, that I'm just going to sound hypocritical because I'm a bit of a Scrooge when it comes to everything else at Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't mind it.
You're okay with it?
I don't know. It's completely out of character for me to say I like something like that. I know. But for some reason, it's charming in a way.
You know what, Dan? You know what I'm going to say to that?
I did know you were going to do that.
Yes.
But this is what we're doing now, is we would like you, if you have a ute or some vehicle that has been dressed up for Christmas and you think it's a little bit special, we'd like you to send us a picture. And you can do that by emailing us at onair@joy.org.au. And we'd love to see those pictures. And if there's one that's particularly special, Tim, will you put it up on the social media page?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Without a doubt.
All right.
Even though I don't agree with it, I will support people's right to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we want to inspire people to get better at it.
Oh, my God.
I want to see people with fairy lights. I want to see all those little plastic snowmen that you get in the garden.
Oh.
I want to see fake snow, bit of cotton wool over the tops of the headlights, make it look like it's been snowing on your car.
Oh, God.
I want to see all that. So if you've got some good pictures of either your car or one...
What about, like, a nativity scene?
Oh, now
in the back of a wagon.
Yes.
Oh.
This is brilliant. See, we're inspiring for next year. If you want some ideas, listen to this now. But yeah, so we want you to email in the best pictures of either of your own car or ones you've seen on the road.
Absolutely. You haven't seen anyone with like actual Christmas flashing lights, have you?
No, I haven't. That would just be the ultimate.
You couldn't do. Oh, you could plug
it in the cigarette
it.
Lighter.
Oh
yeah, you've got to be able to get that.
How has no one done that?
Don't know.
Has someone done it? Let us know.
It's probably massively illegal. But then, if you can get away with some antlers on top of your car that fly off and spear people through the head, then what's the wrong with a bit of light?
It's true. Or those flashing lights under lowered cars, the blue lights.
Yeah, a bit Fast and the Furious. Yeah.
Yeah, a bit naff.
Yeah,
frankly, but that's just my own outrageous view. But do let us know, 0427JOY949, or email some pictures in onair@joy.org.au. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Tim and Dan are here with you for another, I'd say, 30 minutes and 30 seconds.
That's a pretty good guess.
Well,
were you guessing or were you just looking at the Joy clock?
I was looking at the amazing Joy clock.
Did you know the Joy clock actually has its own social media page?
It does.
I love that.
I thought
that was so funny.
Hey, I'm going to follow it.
And it just comes up with random messages all throughout the day.
Does it?
And then it always signs off by saying, by the way, the time is.
Ah, that's great.
I love it. It's got such personality.
Oh, I'm going to have to follow that.
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent, please. Now, this is Bender Bender. It is all about cars. And this year has just been phenomenal.
Really has.
I think it's just
that tone of voice was entirely justified.
I know. I thought I was going to cough something up. No, it has been a very busy year. Lots of new models, very important models, lots of concepts. Just heaps happening in general. Mm. And we're going to have a bit of a review and have a look back in the year that was. Because no one does that at this time of year, do they?
Sorry if this is becoming a bit nauseating for you now. Look back. No, I'd like to think we lend something new to
that's
it.
That's true. But it has been a big year, and it's been a big year for a particular segment, and I would suggest that that would be cheap sports cars.
Absolutely. Yes, we've been spoilt, really.
Oh, my goodness. And, I mean, you just don't have to spend a lot of money to get a little bit of performance. Maybe not a lot of performance in some of these examples, but in other examples, you can get a thing that'll blow your pants off.
Well, yes. I mean, they've all got room. I personally love a car that has massive amounts of power, but there's a real practical side to having a car that is enjoyable to drive, makes all the right sounds, but doesn't go particularly fast on the grand scheme of things, because we all know we live in the license loss capital of Australia. Having a car that looks and sounds and feels like a sports car but doesn't necessarily go as fast as the typical stereotypical image of a sports car means you keep hold of your little ID card a bit longer.
Exactly. So you can get into nightclubs.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's true.
And so, yes, I fully believe this is why there's been a boom what's the fair way of describing a sports car that doesn't go very fast? Because they do.
It's hard to kind of...
And I suppose it's unfair to call... I don't really like calling a car, you know, like, say, some of these examples we've got. They're great cars. I'm reluctant to call them cheap, because as soon as you say cheap, it sounds tacky, doesn't it?
Well, I guess...
So I would say, let's say good value.
That's better. Good I was going to say budget, but even that sounds a bit tacky,
exactly,
doesn't it?
They wouldn't appreciate that either. So, yes, I suppose it's practical sports cars, really.
And I think the first one we saw in 2012 was Hyundai's attempt at a sports car, which they've done before, and that's the Veloster, which is the strange-looking thing.
This has been... Well, I've had a troubled relationship with the Veloster. Yep. Right from its inception, I deeply disliked it.
Right.
Right from the start. I thought, no, no, no. And I thought this was going to be another example of Hyundai trying to do something sporty and failing miserably at it. And for the first few times I saw the car experienced it, I thought I was absolutely right.
Yep.
The colours it came out in, that weird sort of door on one side, you know, I just thought, no, 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 no. But it's been a slow...
It's grown on you?
It's been a slow love affair.
Yep, okay.
And then they did something... They did exactly the right thing. They added a turbo, which, of course, gave us not a huge amount of performance, but adequate.
Yeah.
It gave it...
It made it okay to call it a sports car, whereas the original Veloster, it's kind of like, you're really just a small car made to look like a sports car.
Yes.
And that's fine. I've driven it. It's fine.
That's exactly right. That's all. Yes. You summed it up perfectly in a word. Fine. And sports cars are not fine. They have to be notable.
Exactly.
Then they did the turbo. Brilliant. And then they did something else which I disagreed with. They introduced it in one of those funny matte colours.
Matte grey.
Yes.
I like it.
I'm pleased you said that, because first time I saw it in the skin, totally converted.
Absolutely the same, because I thought it was a ridiculous idea, and apparently there's quite a bit of maintenance with that particular...
There is, yeah.
Yeah,
and, yeah, it's, as Mike describes it, it's like your old favourite T-shirt. You know, you got to look after it.
So
they've gone from making this car that originally was underpowered, gaudy and ugly, and suddenly, at the end of the year, we've got one which is handsome, adequate performance, and I love.
It's great.
I mean, if only all cars could do that to me, I'd never run out of stuff to write,
this is true. This is very true.
So
good on Hyundai for getting in the game there and kicking off the year in kind of exciting style. Now, I wrote something else down here, and that's the Honda CRZ. That was actually last year, but it kind of was very late last year that it was released, so it's kind of boomed in sales earlier this year, and that's, of course, their little hybrid sports car.
Yes.
Which I've only driven once, and I loved it.
It is an outstanding car, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love or hate those looks, the styling is controversial, but the one thing you have to say about it is it doesn't look like anything else on the road.
No, it doesn't.
And it is reminiscent of the old CRX, which I think is brilliant, a really clever move, but it's bringing technology into the forefront, and it's a modern car with the looks to match.
Yep.
I love it. Absolutely
fabulous little gearbox. Goes around corners like you wouldn't believe. I big fan of that. And again, last year, so we don't want to dwell on it too much. But obviously the biggest good value sports cars.
Very good.
Yes, I was trying to think.
It only took you one go at that. That was great.
Of course, were the Toyota 86 and Subaru BRZ twins. Which won our
Raddest Car of the Year award.
Exactly.
And how last could it week. Not? It's been winning everything, left, right,
literally.
And
it's almost getting boring now. Not the car, but the fact that it's winning everything.
Yeah, that's right. You want someone else to...
The underdog?
Well, exactly. We should have... We did an award for the sexiest car. That was won by somebody else. Everyone's talking about it for very good reason. Yep. It is one of the... It's certainly the most important car of the year, I would argue.
Without a doubt.
It's probably... Am I out of turn saying it's one of the most important for the last 5 years, I would say?
No, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think when you're getting a car that is so well engineered, pretty well designed. I don't think it's a stunning car. I think it's a great looking car. I don't think it's stunning. But the fact that you can get into one for $30,000, possibly not for about 18 months when the next lot are available. Same with the BRZ. It's sold out in minutes online. Yeah, but that's another interesting thing as well, selling a car online only.
They've broken the mold in so many ways there, even as you rightly say, down to the way they're sold.
Yeah.
It is a remarkable car. And even by selling out, they've done something else, which they might not even been trying. I suspect it was probably it was deliberate. But by... developing exclusivity around the car, suddenly people want it all the more.
So you make
a car that's good value, everyone wants it, and then you don't let them have it.
Yeah.
you're on to an absolute winner, and it will sell and sell and sell. I love to see. The other thing I have to say, which we talk, forgive me, there's a bit of repetition, but Toyota and Subaru said that it was now. This, I believe they've said this on record, at least there's been suggestions. They said it was too hard to turbocharge it. Now, this is, I know, categorically, if they wanted to, there would have been a way. The reason they didn't turbocharge it is because it would ruin the character of the car. If you made that car too powerful, it would completely be overpowered. It would ruin that balance it's got. It is so perfectly positioned and poised on the road, handling and power-wise, that if you stuck a blower on it, you're going to ruin the whole thing. And there's already companies that are offering bolt-on kits in Australia, and I would say, don't do it. If you want a fast car, a really blisteringly fast car, go for something else. The thing that the BRZ 86 does so well is balance and poise. And by sticking a silly blower under the bonnet, and this is, I can't believe these words coming out of my mouth because I love turbocharging, but in that car, it's just wrong.
What would you say? Go for like a WRX or something like that? Or?
Yeah, if you want out and out,
That's because that would be the next for that kind of price.
Well, exactly right. Yeah, that's, I guess. I suppose so. But it's just, I don't know, really. Turbocharging, if you want a more powerful car, there's not a lot you can get for the money, really.
Well, that's,
you have to spend a bit more money. But all I'm saying is that it was a brilliant decision by Toyota Subaru to not blow that car. It didn't need it.
To not what?
I should have really thought about how that was going to sound prior to me saying it.
No, that's
please
excellent.
Don't. I mean, it's a good car, but I think I've drawn the limit. No, I'm not even going to say it.
No, that's true. We've already talked about mechanophilia.
Where's the gasp when you need it?
Oh, damn it. I lost the number. No, so a big year for those kind of cars. Obviously, small cars have continued to sell really, really well. But that they've kind of plateaued a little bit, small cars in this country. It's now the biggest market, biggest segment rather, but they've kind of just gotten to a point where, you know, that there's about five or six of them in the top 10 every week.
Yep.
But the other one, of course, is the growth of SUVs.
This is sad, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, look, it wouldn't be if some of them were cool and exciting. Well, some of them are. I don't know. It's just, you know, it's the family car of now.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
It is. I find it shame because it is totally a matter of if you can't beat them, join them. And so it's almost unanimously agreed that SUVs are safe because they're massive and they're high. And so if you want to have a safe car, you almost have to compete with everyone else who's driving one around and get one yourself. And that's a shame because they don't really do anything. If you keep them on the road, they don't do anything else well.
Yeah.
All they do is give you a nice raised up position and a bit more might so that if you hit someone else, then you're going to come off better. And that really, it just strikes me as something deeply wrong with the whole situation.
Because interior space-wise, compared to a traditional wagon, is there much difference, you know, it was given the similar segment?
Not really, no. You get a lot more headroom inherently, in terms of sort of actual internal footprint where you can put things, not really, no.
Yeah. And I think there's something that it's really hard for them to do well is cornering. And if you're in a wagon, like a Mazda 6 wagon or something like that, that is going to corner way better than a Kia Sorento or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
And that's very important to me.
That's just me. But to a lot of people, it's not important.
Well,
so
exactly.
They just want the biggest car they can get into for not a lot of money. It doesn't really have to do anything particularly well other than just get driven into very well.
And you know, sometimes look tough, I guess.
Yeah, I actually saw a guy, I openly congratulated a man who I saw driving a Toyota Hilux the other day.
Oh, yeah.
That was a pretty new version. I think it might have been a 2012, so it's pretty new. covered, absolutely covered. Not one patch of its original paint you could see. It was covered in mud.
Awesome.
And in quite a, where was it now? It was somewhere quite sort of built up suburban. And I just thought, that's so nice to see a car that has been, that will do that real. Hilux is excellent off road, we know. And he'd actually been using it. I thought, why don't we see more of that? That's that's a gentleman who deserves to own a car like that. Most other people.
Should we give him a round of applause?
Oh, well, why not?
I can't find the numbers, so just give him a physical one. Okay. Good for him.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And so, yeah, we're not super happy about that segment, but people are buying it. There's not much we can do about it.
And at the same time, to take us into another segment, you know, you've got cars, big cars that are failing because, you know, they're people go, well, they're inefficient and they're big and what's the point in dragging it around? Well, if you can say that about the Commodore and the Falcon, they're not selling, why the hell do people buy SUVs?
I find it that it's very, very good that you brought that up because especially when in a year we've had Ford releasing their EcoBoost version, which is the 2-litre four-cylinder version of
it's
the Falcon.
It's such a good car.
Everyone's saying wonderful things about it. There was somebody online recently, not a quite reputable publication, saying that was one of their highlights of the year.
Yep.
In fact, that in their top 10.
Yes.
Of a particular website. And, you know, the fuel economy of that thing's great. Everyone knows the Falcon is a fantastic car to drive. It's rear-wheel drive. It's safe.
Yes. It's very Australian. Supporting the economy.
Why would you buy a...
silly 4-litre high SUV.
Yeah.
It's like, inefficient.
I keep coming up with Kia Sorento. It's the only thing I can think of. I know there's others out there. I don't know. I don't know why you'd do that.
Yeah.
But again, it's not cool. A Falcon's not cool, so...
Well, if we can give you one piece of advice, Fender Bender, we would say keep it local, keep it real.
Yeah.
Buy a nice, efficient Ford Falcon.
Well, and it's also this, you know, this is, I'm looking ahead to the year, which we'll probably do next week, is kind of really look ahead to the year. But next year, we'll see a brand new Commodore, which I don't think can come soon enough. I drove a Commodore sports wagon a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it really felt its age.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very
much. Okay,
so.
I've not got my hands on that yet.
Oh, it's just... just a bit big and dumb.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much else out there and there's so much competition that Holden are going to have a big fight next year. And I hope they do it really well. And I think they can. And it's been a year of quite interesting, well, a very mixed year for local manufacturers. I mean, we've seen a lot of staff lost at all three local manufacturers, Toyota, Ford and Holden.
Yeah.
And the sales have just gone down, down. Prices are down. sorry.
What did you do?
Why did I sing the Coles ad? I mean, you know, sales have gone down, but then there's been some interesting positives, like the Camry Hybrid, which is locally built, the only locally built hybrid car, is selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, well, good, because...
Or Camry full stop, actually, but the hybrid in particular is doing really well.
And we have to admit that we use the Camry occasionally as an example of a car that's not particularly exciting, but then not exciting does not necessarily constitute not good.
Exactly.
It's a great car. It is a good car, and, you know, the masses have spoken. They are selling well.
Yep.
It's a good car.
It's doing very well, and another thing is the local expertise, and we've seen this in the last couple of years of engineering, like Ford...
Yeah.
Building the Ranger and even cars that are for emerging markets like that little Figo and stuff like that. We've got some amazing expertise here, both design and engineering, and hopefully that will just build and build and build, and that's what our industry will eventually be, I guess.
Well, we can only speculate.
That's it. That is our middle name.
Yeah.
Tim and Dan Speculate. Gardner Nicholson, I don't know what's happening here. This is Fender Bender. We have got a lot more coming up, and we'd love to hear from you if you've got any questions or you just want to say hi. 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
While we were chatting amongst ourselves and listening to an awesome track by Flume, we've had a few messages. There's one here from... Bernie, who says, your thoughts on the new model Kia Soul, a 1.6 or a 2-litre auto. Our thoughts, Tim. Now then, I have thoughts on this.
Please.
It's a how to talk about the styling of this car. It's striking, I would say.
Mm.
Love or hate, quite possibly.
Yes, it's a bit like that, isn't it?
I personally love it. I think at the moment there's not a lot else on the road that looks anything like it. I think it's great to see Kia doing something really daring with the looks. I absolutely love it. Whether to go for a 1.6 or a 2-litre, because I'm a complete unashamed petrol head. I would always go for the absolute largest engine. Kia make a very efficient 2 litre. It's not a particularly big car, but I would say
I think you'd need it.
1.6 yeah. is probably going to be. I have to admit, Bernie, I've not driven this car, but I would say 1.6 sounds a little asthmatic.
Yeah.
I would say go for the 2 litre. If it's, I'm not sure on pricing for this car. It probably is not going to be any huge amount more.
No.
You'll probably find level of specs slightly better on the 2 litre as well.
I would check the fuel economy, which you can look yes. just by doing a bit of research. And if that's very important, then maybe look at the 1.6, but I'm with you, Dan. I would go the 2 in a car. It's not a massive car, but if you're carrying anything in it.
And you can, because they've got a good, yeah. they've got a good load.
But I love the look of it. I'm mad yeah. for a boxy car. Literally, my favourite car design of the last 10 years is the Nissan Cube.
Yeah. Isn't it great? This fits into exactly the same character. Yep.
Not as cool as the Cube, but it's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, so good choice. If you take the plunge, Bernie, let us know. We'd love to know what you do.
Absolutely. We've also had an email from someone.
Yes.
I cannot remember their name.
It's
on the next
A
email.
Family. Okay, it is
Rosie from Kingsville.
Yes.
Who's texted in to ask our advice.
They've currently got a Subaru Impreza, but as many people do, you know, these little sprogs come along and they have kids, and they've also got. They say they've got a set dog. I think that might be a typo, but if it's not, I'd love to know what a set dog is. Is it one that doesn't move?
Possibly.
If so, that is really easy to carry it around. You can basically put it anywhere. But they would like some advice on what is an efficient family car for a couple kids and a dog. We have some suggestions.
That does not eat fuel.
Yes.
Which. You know, obviously every car has eats fuel.
I was going to say, that's technically impossible, unless you just park it on a hill and make sure you only ever go down. Yeah.
But it's good that Rosie and her family are very concerned about fuel economy, because I think we all should be.
Yes.
So we have a couple of suggestions. Now, look, we obviously don't know how much you kind of want to spend or whatever, so we are just going right for the top end.
Well, no, not necessarily.
No, we're not. Look, these are all new
Jaguar
cars.
Jaguar Shooting Brake.
Yeah, exactly. These are all new cars, and they kind of vary in price, actually probably not by a huge amount, but yeah, look, one of my suggestions was I'm mad for a small wagon.
Yes.
I've always loved them based on a hatch. I don't know why, I just love them. And Hyundai announced recently, or even though they said they weren't going to do this initially when they released the i30, the i30 wagon will be coming out next year. It looks fantastic. The wagon obviously gives you a lot more space.
Yep.
When the kids grow up, you know, you might want to be looking at something bigger. It is a small car, but great fuel economy and apparently fantastic little car.
Yeah.
So that's one kind of suggestion if you're still looking for something that's smallish but has enough room to go on holidays with.
Yes, absolutely right. Totally agree on that one. Another one might be worth looking into. We've talked about it many times before, is the Ford Mondeo. They do a wagon with an EcoBoost engine. And so you're looking at a car that is known to be very good to drive, if that interests you. I mean, it may not. You might just want a car for going from A to B. But it's got that excellent engine we talk about, and it's efficient and a decent car.
That's very true, and I support that as well. There's going to be a new Mondeo, I think, at the end of next year, early year after. So it depends if you want something now. I was going to say you might be able to get a bargain, but probably not for a little while.
Yeah.
But you could still get a good deal, who knows. But a very, very good car. Mazda 6 has just come out.
Yes.
Brilliant, brilliant wagon. And the thing is, we've just had an addition to that text from
Rosie.
Yeah,
I noticed that.
saying...
Rosie, could you make sure you get all the information in the initial text message, please? Because otherwise we're going to have to be doing a lot of talking.
No, it's fine. So Rosie said, we should have added that we were looking for an SUV for no other reason than it seems to be what families drive.
Right. Well, now, haven't we just touched on the problem here?
Yep.
Is that I fully understand that it's you just look around and see what everyone else is driving. Can we please just, you know, ask a question? Why is everyone driving an SUV? Let's just make a decision for yourself, all right? You don't need to buy an SUV.
No.
We've given you some great suggestions there. Why don't you go for a nice Golf wagon?
Diesel wagon.
Excellent diesel engine in the Golf there. It doesn't use any diesel at all. No, it does. But it's very efficient.
And I said the Mazda 6, didn't I?
Yes.
With Sky Active technology or a diesel.
So, sorry, Razor, we were talking in the break and we haven't come up with any SUVs for you, but that's because you don't need one.
It's true. You really don't these days. It's completely unnecessary. So hopefully we've helped you out, Rosie, and we'd love to hear from you and let us know how you go down the track.
Please do. Yeah, we'd love to know.
Yeah. So now just concluding, I've just realised we are coming up to the end of the show, which is a little bit insane. We just have to skip quite a number of things, but that's all right. Now, but there's been a few other things happening this year. Luxury car sales have slid. No one's buying them anymore. Like upper luxury, like 7 Series S I nearly said S Club. Wow.
Ooh, S Club. Have you just,
we'll
have
be
you
playing
just given
that
away
week.
My life? No. I'm not wearing an S Club 7 t-shirt.
No, that's outrageous. So no one's buying those again. The poor old Japanese car makers have taken a real hit because of that whole controversial
island dispute
in China. And no one in Europe can afford to buy cars anymore.
Well, there we go.
Is that the year in review?
What a great note to end on there.
It is fantastic.
We've talked about lots of different things there. We've said cars are doing well in some sectors, others not doing very well at all. We've got troubles at home. We've got good things happening at home, troubles overseas. What is always interesting with the automotive industry and the car market is it seems to be a little bit of a barometer for what's going on financially and socially all around the world. So in just that little review we've done this episode of Fender Bender, you can see that, you know, there's good and there's bad.
Yep.
There's a little bit of worrying things going on in the world at the moment with finances, but people don't stop buying cars. People don't stop spending money. When people start talking about recessions and, you know, global financial crises, don't worry too much about it.
Yep.
Because if you just keep getting out there and buying some good little cars, talking with your feet, then we all get through it.
Exactly. And we all win.
We do.
And who doesn't want to be a
and
winner?
And if you don't buy cars, then we can't talk about anything on Fender Bender. And we
it's
all
very boring.
Yes, exactly.
It's very true. It's very true. Well, look, Dan, thank you very much.
Oh.
And a Happy New Year to you.
Yes, Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year to our wonderful listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. And all year, thank you for tuning in. We've really loved your support and we love talking about cars and we hope that you enjoy us listening to talk to you... words. Listening to us talk to you about cars.
You managed to string sentences together all the way through the year
and
just
ruin it.
Final hurdle.
I know. I stumble. But do stick around, of course. Been There, Done That with Chris and Gordon is just around the corner. Lots coming up. Next week we'll be back doing a bit of a what's happening this in 2013.
Yes.
So stick around and safe driving, guys.
Joy 94.9 is a GLB TIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.